Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The idea that somehow they pose a more significant threat than all the tourists who pour into the United States every single day just doesn't jive with reality.
That's Barry from Honolulu, flying back from a junket somewhere in Asia. I think that's where he was. God knows what he was doing there. And he says that the Syrian refugees pose no more of a threat than the average tourist, and laughs at stupid Americans who believe that they do. Now, a poll just came out. 60% say the U.S. is at war with Islamic terrorism. He doesn't know it, or he denies it. Hillary doesn't know it or denies it. John Kerry doesn't know it or denies it. Spokesmouths for the government don't know it or deny it. I guess the American people are stupid. The majority say that we're at war with radical Islam. Now, they look around, they see every day another bomb somewhere. Today, another one. Another one, another hotel blown up. More people dragged out with blood running off their bodies. But, you know, we have to believe our leaders because they are smarter than we are. You have to understand that Barry from Honolulu is much smarter than you are. He's much smarter. He knows we're not at war with radical Islam, and he knows that it's not Islamic terrorism. These are just rogue individuals. They're lacking jobs and opportunities, and they're just striking out of desperation. They're just striking out because they need jobs, job training. That's the best they can come up with. Russia knows what it is. France knows what it is. Jordan knows what it is. Egypt knows what it is. India certainly knows what radical Islam is. But Barry from Hawaii doesn't know what it is. Now, you see, there's a dance of death in the West, and now actual death around the world, courtesy of the Islamo-fascists. Meanwhile, the Caesar in the White House entertains himself with 1,000 sycophants, partying on behind closed doors, as if the Islamo-fascist hand will not touch him. He thinks he's protected from this new plague, the Black Death of radical Islam. You see, we're facing something the West hasn't had to deal with since the wars of religion in the 16th and 17th centuries. When those religious wars ended in one place, they began in another. They lasted for over 100 years. The same thing is happening right now. The radical Muslims are on the warpath, and they are against everyone else. They are against Muslims who are not as fanatical. They are against the members of all other religions. They think they're going to take us back to some pristine religious period in human history that never actually occurred. This is a barbaric revolution, and we have a man in the White House who denies its existence. But whether he chooses to acknowledge it or not, it's going to continue until someone puts a stop to it. Why would any government bring in unvetted Muslim immigrants at a time like this? It would seem that only an insane prince would do this to this nation. But Obama is not insane. He's stoned. He's stoned on the orthodoxy of the progressive left. Obama and his supporters are drunk on their ideology. They think they're going to create a progressive utopia by continuing their attack on all Western values. Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, this is precisely how great civilizations of the past declined and eventually fell. They rejected the values that made them great and degenerated into narcissism and selfishness. They kept on partying until they were too weak to defend themselves. Then the unthinkable happened. They fell. That's the opening page to Government Zero. And what gives me chills is that the third paragraph of the first page came out before Paris and before Mali. And the sentence read, "Why would any government bring in unvetted Muslim immigrants at a time like this?" The dance of death continues. The dance of death continues, excerpted from my new book, Government Zero. They're Nazis in headscarves. This is a barbaric revolution. I can ask you a question. Do you agree with the majority of Americans who believe that the U.S. is at war with Islamic terrorism, despite what pie-face Hillary says, despite what Barry the Deranged says? Incidentally, majorities from both major parties said the U.S. is engaged in a conflict with radical Islam. It included 56% of Democrats, 70% of Republicans, 54% of independents. Did you know that? Did you know that most Americans understand what's going on? Did you understand finally that people get it, but that the leadership either doesn't get it or is playing for the other side or is in another universe altogether? Nobody knows how they can stay in office. But what can I say to you? This is a very dangerous time that we're living in. It's very difficult to not be agitated by it. It's very difficult if you are conscious to continue your life as you continued it before, as you ran it before Paris, when every day bombs are going off somewhere in the world, and every day the bombs are being detonated by radical Muslims, against Christians, against Buddhists, against Hindus, against agnostics, against Jews, against Hindus, wherever you turn. This is a repeat of history. Those of you who know your history are recognizing that we are repeating our history. This is the history of how in only 50 years the radical Muslims of ancient times that arose soon after Muhammad appeared on the planet took over a good portion of the world. They did so in exactly the same way, not with bombs but with the sword, not with the message of Jesus, which is of love but of hate, not with the message of peace but of war. If you don't know your history, learn your history, because I'm going to give it to you right now on the Savage Nation. That history is very interesting, and it's well documented. And it's the growth of the Muslim power in only 25 years. And if you look at the map, you'll see that they swept out of the Middle East, where it originated, covered all of Arabia, then Persia, then Egypt, and then on into other areas. They conquered Persia. They conquered Western Turkestan. They conquered the Chinese. They conquered Egypt. And who was doing the conquering? The very same types that are doing it now. They were filled with fanatical belief in the sufficiency of a single book, the Quran. They burned the book copying industry at the Alexandria Library to the ground. They burned books to the ground, liberals. They burned every book on earth except one book. And then the tide of Muslim conquest poured along the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and Spain. Spain was invaded in 710. The Pyrenees Mountains were reached in 720. In 732, the fanatical Arabs advanced into the center of France. But then something happened. It was stopped for good at the Battle of Poitiers and thrust back as far as the Pyrenees again. And I can stop right there. It was only through war that they were stopped. And what happened after that is very interesting. Very interesting what happened after that. The intolerant self-sufficiency of the early days of faith, which made the Quran seem the only possible book, was dropped. Did you know that the Arab Muslims who were doing this around the globe are not even 9th century in their thinking, but they're 7th century in their thinking? They do not even reflect the 9th century view of Muslims. They reflect the 7th century view of Muslims. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If you don't understand it, it's because you're a drug addict. You've been drugged in your schools. You've been drugged by your doctors. You've been drugged by virtually everything you've seen on television and everything produced by the wonderful geniuses in Hollywood. I now want to talk about something else that's somewhat related. I was trying to understand why men like George Soros, who I consider one of the most evil geniuses in the history of the world, why he would fund the flood of refugees into Europe, why he would flood Syrian refugees into America, why he and his cohorts would spend hundreds of millions of dollars with their, quote, Open Borders Institute. What are they trying to do, I ask? Why would a Jew like George Soros, who allegedly fled the Nazis, why would he be doing this? Why would he want Muslim refugees in America? And I was racking my brain. It didn't make sense to me. I'd say surely a billionaire like him would want him, his children and his money protected. What is he doing? And then it occurred to me that, and maybe this idea is crazy, I said to myself, but I'm going to run it by the radio audience today because I tend to think out loud, come what may. So here's my thought. Why is it that the entire progressive establishment is in favor of running refugees across all borders, mainly Muslims? What are they trying to do? And then it dawned on me. They want you to say all religion is toxic. Once you come to hate radical Islam, they figure out, you'll come to hate your own religion. And then once you come to hate your own religion and say all religion is insane, why then they have what they want. They have statism rather than any other religion. And then they have exactly what they want, which is no religion. And the only religion that will be permitted is the new equivalent of the Soviet Union of the world, the state religion. You see what I'm saying? Did you follow the logic? If you come to detest radical Islam, you'll say it's religion itself that's no good. All religion is equal. Haven't you noticed what they're doing, the girls on MSNBC? All religion is dangerous. Christians are just as dangerous as Muslims. Every religion has terrorists. Haven't you seen that? What do you think that rhetoric is about? That rhetoric is to make you hate all religion, fear all religion, and then eventually outlaw all religion in all Western nations. And then what happens? And then you have statism. Then you have a new Soviet type of system that runs the West. Well, that's the opening to the show. Probably more ideas than you've had all week or all day. Something for you to think about. It's open mic to Mike on the Savage Nation. I invite you to call to the one open line, 1-855-407-2822. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. It is the Savage Nation. These are very difficult times for all thinking Americans. If you're a fool, if you're a liberal, if you're a progressive, you can go partying on and continue your dance of death. But those of us who see what's going on know the danger we're in. And then we know who the enemy is because they've defined themselves. They even have a name. Now, there's the reason that Obama keeps referring them to as Daesh. Kerry calls them Daesh. Anything without the word Islam in it, they use. Anything but the word Islam. Sharon, WMAL, we're in danger. What's on your mind?
Yes, no one has explained the relationship between Islam and communism in the way that you so eloquently just did for all of us. And really, the genius in this case is Savage, not Thoreau, and I thank you for that.
Okay, I appreciate it. Let me explain it in one paragraph. Michael Savage has been warning Americans for decades, and now it's here. No borders, no language, no culture. Savage sounds the alarm about how progressives and radical Islamists are each unwittingly working towards similar ends to destroy Western civilization and remake it in their own respective images. These two dark forces are transforming our once free republic into a socialist third world dictatorship ruled by government zero, absolute government and zero representation. Savage cuts through mainstream media propaganda to reveal an all-out attack on our borders, language, and culture by progressive travelers who have hijacked public policy from national defense to immigration to public education. There is no time to lose. The progressive Islamist agenda has advanced into every public space, from the White House to the military to your local public school. If America is to survive, it has to be stopped. Michael Savage has a plan. I've articulated this plan on this program for many years, and yet the lunatics continue to chatter on, as it was said, and the band plays on. They keep playing their same symphonies of multiculturalism, open borders, peace and love, all religions are the same. Islam is a peace-loving religion. It's not related to Muslims. You have no right to look at Muslims. You have no right to investigate mosques. You have no right to restrict immigration. The same thing goes on and on and on. Nothing will change them. You have to ask yourself, when will it change? How will it change? Huh? Robert, WJR, fire away, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I wanted to mention my thought that every kid in high school should have your book as a required reading along with the Diary of Anne Frank, Animal Farm, and 1984.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't say give your copy to a high school student who's intelligent enough to want to know why there are bombs going off around the world and what it's related to and what might be needed to protect ourselves. There's only one thing needed to protect ourselves, which is the immediate convening of a board of medical examiners to determine whether Barack Obama is fit to remain as president of the United States. I believe he's showing all the signs of, you call it anything you want, delusional behavior, psychotic behavior. In either case, he's not fit for service. He is the commander-in-chief of the most powerful military on earth. Are you aware that he has intervened and prevented our Air Force from dropping 75% of the bombs that they wanted to drop on ISIS? Do you know that? Did you see that story today?
No, I've been in a
75% of the targets that were identified by our brave pilots. He has said, don't drop the bombs, or the girls in the White House who are controlling the bombs. They're controlling this war from the White House, not from the battlefield. And he has said 75% of those targets are off limits. Why? Why is he protecting the Islamists? Why has he let ISIS to grow into this Nazi-sized army? What is he doing? Why has he let them take over a land area the size of Great Britain? Why has he done that?
I don't know.
Now, there's only one answer. There's only two answers. Because he's crazy, he is stupid, or he's fighting on their side because he wanted them to be the de facto army to take down Assad. In other words, their entire plan is a complete fallacy. It's blown up in their faces and they won't admit it. Phone number here is 855-407-282. Let me send you a copy of my great prophetic work, Government Zero. There's no more important book in the world right now. That's right, you heard me. I'll turn it off. I don't want rock and roll today. Actually, I don't want any rock and roll. I feel like playing like a fugue of some kind. I think classical music, some kind of Western civilization music, instead of this gibberish. How can you enjoy yourself at a time like this? When they're at war with us and we're not at war with them? And the lunatic running the show, nothing. He said they're like tourists. They shouted Allahu Akbar as they stormed the hotel. Majority of Americans say U.S. at war with Islamic terrorism. Meanwhile, they go on. They keep partying on. No, there's no Islamic there. There's no terrorism there. There's rogue people who are looking for jobs. Disaffected youth. Disenfranchised by the European societies that took them in and gave them a free ride. It's our fault when you think about it. Why, it was George Bush's war for oil that did this. These are the morons. These are the idiots. These are the college grads, the drug addicts, who know nothing about the 1400-year war of radical Islam against the world. The idiot morons, the college girls, the college boys, running around with fingers in their mouths, running on the internet, running their minds on the internet, know nothing. And let me tell you something. A bomb, God forbid, that's planted somewhere in this country can ruin your day. No matter how progressive you are, it cannot distinguish between your progressive values and conservative values. The bombs don't discriminate. They'll kill you too. And look at the morons, what they did in Paris. Look who they picked to bomb. They didn't bomb an anti-immigration protest, did they? They bombed progressives just like you. They bombed people at a rave just like you. They bombed people who got stoned and went to a dance just like you. Why did they do that? Why did they choose to shoot people sitting in a cafe? Or young people at a rave somewhere listening to stupid music? Why did they bomb them when they were on their side? I guarantee you 90% of the liberals who were injured or killed probably were on the same side as Hillary Clinton. Open the borders, they're not bad, this and that. Why did they choose them? Can you figure this out? Yeah, well, try to figure it out. Try to figure it out. Another debate now coming up on another debate. I told Trump when he was on not to go to any more debates. That would be my opinion. If I were Trump, I would not go to any further debates. I'd say, I'm not debating anyone but Hillary Clinton. It's over. You know who I am? Good luck. Go on the campaign trail. Do not debate. You're going before the CNN again? You're going before them again? The creatures from another universe? By the way, who's bringing in the Syrians? How are they getting here? They're not walking over a land bridge. Why? They're coming in by airplane. So which airplane companies, which corporations are flying them in? Who's making the money? We know that Catholic Family Services has no conscience. They're making billions. We know Lutheran Family Services is in it for the money. We know that every organization is bringing them in, is making a fortune off it under the guise of religious humanitarianism. And who's flying them in? Who's paying for these airplanes? Mike on WABC, do you know the answer to that?
Well, I just got some information from a guy I work with. I work at an airport. I work at Philadelphia International, and he does some work over in Harrisburg International in Pennsylvania, and he got information that UPS flew in refugees from wherever, and they were loaded on about 10 buses that were, windows were all blacked out. My blood is boiling. I just can't believe it.
I'll bet the buses were Department of Homeland Security deportation buses, which are now being used as importation buses. In other words, the psychotic in the White House has reversed the entire government. Instead of Department of Homeland Security, it's the Department of Homeland Insecurity. Instead of an Immigration and Naturalization Service, it's the Importation of Possible Terrorist Service. It's an insane government out of control. A rogue government zero. What do the people do when they wake up and realize that the government is the enemy of the people? What do they do? What are they supposed to do? Tell me what the people, tell me what we're supposed to do. Wait for Trump? I don't think we have a year and some months left. I don't think so. I think Barry is so dangerous and so deranged that I think that there'll be no chance to save the nation a year from now. I think he's doing everything he can. You know, when a military invades another country and they know that they're losing or they're going to leave, have you ever heard what they've done as they left the country? What have they done? What have they done to the nations that they retreated from? Why, they blew things up. Didn't they destroy as much as they could as they retreated? Isn't that what they do when they hate the land that they've retreated from? It seems to me that this sick, progressive administration is destroying everything that they can before they leave. Now, are my statements irrational, or are they rational to you? Well, what's the point? It's a rhetorical question. If you said they were irrational, I would disagree with you anyway. Okay. Internet Craig. Craig, your opinion counts. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I've been listening to your show today live, which is a rarity for me. And 25 years from now, I think the historians are going to say, how could you elect somebody who has three Muslim names, and then you watched him import all these other Muslims, not thinking he was a Muslim? And what you just said...
I have to correct and modify what you're alleging. Even if he is a Muslim, that's not the issue. Remember, the King of Jordan is a Muslim. He opposes radical Islam. The general who's running Egypt is a Muslim. He opposes the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's not that he is a Muslim. It's a question of which division or branch of Islam does he represent. Isn't that really the question?
Yes, and Michael, I go one step further. Anytime anyone in the States tries to oppose him or call him to question, he gets more radicalized and he gets more hateful. And I think that's proof to all of us who have half a brain, like you said before, that he is the one that has infiltrated us, the enemy within, as you so many times say. But we're not allowed
to... Let me ask you this. Let's say that that's a harsh statement to make, even though it seems evident to those of us who've studied this in great detail that it is true. I have a question for you. If there was an enemy within planted in the highest office, what could he or would he be doing that's different than what Barry from Honolulu has been doing? Tell me what he could be doing and what would he get away with. Could he do any more quickly than what he's doing and has done and get away with it until people actually rose up? Tell me what he could be doing and would be doing that he isn't doing if he actually was an enemy within. Would it make any difference if he was? Would he be doing anything differently or at a different pace?
Not at all.
Call
him the enemy within, but we're not allowed to cite that because then we are called racist.
Don't worry about what they call you, because then any time you hear the word racist, it's being used by a racist. That's the ultimate defense, is when someone calls you a racist, say, what makes you an expert in the subject? Is that something you're an expert in?
Exactly.
All right, my friend, the time is short. I'm sending you government zero. Just stare him in the eye and say, oh, you're an expert on racism? Tell me how you know so much about it. Is it because you yourself are a racist? You can give it back to them. Okay, my friends, what are we going to do about it is the question. There's no election. What do you think? There's an election next month or next minute? Tell me what you're going to do about it. Well, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. You know what I do. I put myself on the line every day. I write a book like this, which is kind of, let us put it to you this way, a little on the edge. People buy books like this. They put them on their coffee tables, and they take a chance of being shamed by their stupid relatives who say, how dare you even suggest that the government is this bad? Well, I don't know. You want to take a chance? Go ahead. That's what you have to do. Is there anyone listening to this program who is not alarmed by what Obama is doing or not doing? Is there a so-called progressive out there who is that blind that they don't see what's going on? Tell me, because you're welcome to call the program. 855-400-7282. All the callers are saying the same thing. I think maybe we should clean off the board and start anew, because we're getting the same kind of call all day long. And there's no point in playing what people already heard me say. They're just repeating what I'm saying. So I think best we play some sound. Let's go to John Kerry, another lunatic, another detached maniac, in my opinion, in clip three. Listen to this now.
It's inappropriate for America, of all countries in the world, to panic and to somehow turn our backs on our fundamental values. We have the ability to check on the background checks. It takes, by the way, 18 months to 2 years to do a background check on one refugee. That's how much effort goes into it.
Kerry lied about his military service. Kerry has lied his way right to the top. As you well know, the worst people usually rise to the highest places. That's been the history, the recent history of this country. 18 months? You mean all these people, they're flooding into America, they've looked at them for 18 months? How can you believe a thing like that? And then as far as our fundamental values, isn't that a joke? Isn't our most fundamental value to protect ourselves and our family? Can anyone listening to this show tell me that the most fundamental value of a human being is to preserve his own life and that of his family? That's the number one value. The rest is, let us say, an addendum to that. Let me put it to you another way, some way that a pothead would understand. Attention, marijuana smokers. Attention, marijuana smokers. Attention, drug addicts. Someone gives you a dish of M&Ms or that kind of candy, all mixed colors, and they tell you that one M&M is toxic. There's a whole dish of 100 of them. 150 of them, a whole dish of M&Ms, all different colors, and they don't tell you which M&M is toxic, but they say, we're giving you a warning, one M&M of that 100 is toxic. Would you dare eat the M&Ms when you don't know which one is toxic? Think about that, marijuana heads. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
A handful of people who don't mind dying, they can kill a lot of people. That's one of the challenges of terrorism. It's not their sophistication or the particular weapon that they possess, but it is the ideology that they carry with them and their willingness to die.
He's a genius, you know. He should get another Nobel Prize because that is so insightful, it's shocking. But I would ask the great genius a question. You have a plate of 100 M&Ms of mixed color, different colors, yellow, black, white, whatever the colors that M&Ms make. And then you're given a dish of 100 M&Ms. And you're told one of them is toxic. Would you eat any M&Ms? You'd be crazy to say, well, I'll eat one and take a chance. Russian roulette, isn't it? Well, is my analogy flawed with regard to Syrian refugees? Tell me how it's different. They're telling us, don't worry, that it's a small number or an infinitesimally small number. And don't you worry. We in Homeland Security, we'll catch them. Yeah, they'll catch them, sure. Like they did in Mali. Like they did in Paris, they'll catch them. Like they stopped the Tsarnaev brothers, who the geniuses, the fearless Fosdicks, had them under surveillance for 3 years and let them blow up the pressure cooker bomb in Boston. How many of them are being watched right now? How many of those toxic M&Ms are being watched by FBI, CIA, DHS, you name it, the alphabet agencies? How many of these toxic M&Ms are being watched right now? They say at least, 1,000. Why don't they take them out of the dish? Why don't they remove the toxic M&Ms now? What are they waiting for, someone to eat a toxic M&M? See, I have to make my analogy simple enough for the average doubting Thomas to understand what I'm saying to you. Have I done that? Have I sufficiently awakened you to the danger you're in? You know what's ironic here? You have the liberal, the progressive, if you want to call them that. Of course, it's a regressive. They'll root out the smallest additive in dog food you could imagine. If they look through a dog food list, and if they see one chemical for their dog that might be harmful, if it was in 1,000 times greater amount than it's in that food, they will not buy that food. They will root out the slightest insult that might be racist. Well, root it out. Get that out of there. Tear down statues of Civil War leaders. Just cut it out, because it's so offensive and so hurtful. And yet when it comes to a situation like this, they're blind. How is that possible that the people who are so sensitive to additives, to alleged racism, to alleged slights, how come they're not sensitive to this threat to their very existence? I'm sorry, there's only one answer. Fill in the blank. Liberalism is a mental disorder. So if you're going to let mentally disordered people, whether they be a postman or a president, run national policy, you can see why the bombs are going off. It's that simple. See, if it was me, I'd throw the whole dish of M&Ms in the garbage. I wouldn't eat any of them. And that means that you stop all Syrian refugees from coming in because you cannot vet them. You have no idea which one of them is a Trojan horse being smuggled in as a refugee. That's all. And you say, no, we can't afford it at a time of terror. So what's the answer? You leave all the poor, innocent women and children and men to suffer? No, I've given you the answer. Before my hero, Donald Trump, gave you the answer, I gave it to you. Build a safe haven in the Syrian desert. Build it, no matter what the cost is. And then surround it with concertina wire and put UN troops all around it in watchtowers. Let the UN do something. Let them do something. Or get troops from friendly Arab nations to man those guard booths, if there is such a thing. And protect the Syrian people. Let them build their own little village until the ISIS maniacs are subdued by Russia. And then you let the Syrians go back home and rebuild their country. But you certainly don't bring them in here. You got to be crazy. You got to be nuts. Has anyone in the history of radio given you a better analogy than I've given you today on the M&M analogy? No. No one has. So I hope it's been, you know, worth your while to tune into the show. I'm well known for my insights. Sometimes they're simplistic like that one. But they do make their point, don't they? It's so simple that even a child can understand it. When your child says, Mommy, why are you against bringing in those nice poor women and children from Syria? And you tell them about the M&Ms. You don't know which M&M might be toxic, but there's one amongst 100. So you don't eat any of the M&Ms, Janie. Oh, Mommy, I understand. You mean one of the refugees might be a bomber? Yes, Janie. And so we can't let them in, Janie. Not until this is all sorted out, Janie. Savage Nation, be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As president, my first priority is the safety of the American people. And that's why, even as we accept more refugees, including Syrians. We do so only after subjecting them to rigorous screening and security checks. We also have to remember that many of these refugees are the victims of terrorism themselves.
Yeah, that's what they're fleeing.
Yeah, you're right. Slamming the door in their faces would be a betrayal of our values.
He knows values.
Our nations can welcome refugees who are desperately seeking safety and ensure our own security. We can and must do both.
Islam is not our adversary. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people.
We got the message. We got it. We have deranged lunatics running the asylum. It's like going into a psychiatric ward and finding out the psychiatrist is crazier than the patients. I mean, I'm sorry to be so harsh, but I'll give you an analogy that works in another direction for those of you who have nuance and are very sophisticated and find men like me and Donald Trump lacking nuance and sophistication, lacking a certain Vivaldi-esque speech pattern. Those of you who find me offensive because I sound like an old longshoreman from the docks of New York City, kind of like on the waterfront in the age of Marlon Brando and sort of cast by Ilya Kazan. For those of you who find my gravelly voice offensive, let me use my primitive logic. I'll do the best I can without the nuance that you are used to from the geniuses in the government media complex. And I'll use the same analogy I've used for about 30 minutes now. Something that even you might understand, no matter how nuanced you are. Are you ready for it? Somebody gives you a dish of 100 M&Ms of various colors, and they tell you that only one of them, or two of them, that would be 1 or 2%, are toxic. But they don't tell you which one is toxic because they don't know, and there's no way to screen that those M&Ms for the toxic compound. Well, there is a way. I mean, you'd have to analyze every M&M. You have to put every one of them through very rigorous chemical analysis. And in order to do that, you'd have to, first of all, not put the M&Ms in a dish to begin with. You would have to have screened all the M&Ms with very complicated, expensive analysis in order to know which ones might be toxic. Now, you know and I know what the analogy means. It means you don't eat any of those M&Ms. It means you don't let any Syrian refugees in because you cannot vet them. It's impossible. So what they're saying is, let's let 10,000 or 100,000 in, and if only 1 or 2%, 2% of them are bombers, we'll catch most of them, and if only a few of those get through, so what? That's the price of doing business. It goes back to the analogy that Karl Marx wrote, Obama's grandfather, Karl Marx, when he said, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. Now, that's what ISIS is practicing, by the way, the same crazed ideology as the communists. What did Karl Marx mean when he said, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs? Blow up cafes, blow up stadiums, until eventually the scrambled egg is so weakened and frightened that it becomes an omelet that you control, that you made. George Soros is the omelet maker. Barack Obama is the chef. Hillary Clinton is a chef. But the omelet maker is actually people who are so deranged and have so many billions of dollars to spend that they are creating havoc across the globe for all of us to suffer through. Government zero, in other words, no borders, no language, no culture. I've been trying to warn you about this for 21 years. That's been my mantra. And when I started on the radio in 1994 and I said, people ask me, how do you define a nation? And I was forced to think about it. When I first created the Paul Revere Society, many of you in the Bay Area remember me. Remember the events I had. Name them and Saving the Real Private Ryan, 2,000 people. Name them and shame them. Try them and fry them. Remember those great events? Don't call on that. So those were the progenitor events to the Tea Parties of today. And here we are now, 21 years later, of the same exact message. In the beginning, I was reviled and laughed at across America. They called me every name under the sun. People wanted nothing to do with me. And now they wake up and they say, holy God, we better secure our borders or God knows what might happen. And really, we need to do something about this Tower of Babel that's been created by our tolerance. And as far as culture goes, I didn't know what Savage meant by culture. I thought it was some kind of racism he was talking about. But by God, he's right. I don't really want to get on a prayer rug. I really don't want to pray to Mecca six times a day. We have our own culture, don't we? The culture I've hated my whole life, that Judeo-Christian stuff, and that primitive Bill of Rights put out by those old white men? Gee, maybe that culture wasn't so bad after all, says the weasel called the progressive. So here we are, hour two, Friday. I'm supposed to play rock and roll today on Rock and Roll Friday. We're supposed to have a good time. And those of you who have babies in the house, you're not having a very good time, are you? If you have an infant in a crib or your wife is pregnant, you're not having a very good time, are you, these few weeks? Would you have a very good time? Would you let your child sell lemonade on a street corner anymore in America? Well, believe it or not, some idiots do. Yeah, I actually live in a number of places, and one of them is in a lily-white suburb. And I do so for a couple of reasons, one of which is to observe how the average white couple lives. They live in a delusion. They live in a delusional surrealism that you can't believe. They let little girls go out and sit on corners and sell lemonade, thinking that it's 1955, and it's just a cartoon of the world. And then this Islamo-fascism, or rapists, or murderers, or kidnappers will not touch their family. They live in a delusion, there's no reality to them. Now you take that same soccer mom, who has been brainwashed in college, probably raised on drugs, probably eats a horrendous diet largely of sugar and caffeine, is on medication herself, and then you ask her what she thinks about the President of the United States, and she says, he's wonderful, why, he's great. He's just doing a super job. And it's that Trump I don't like because I... And you ask him why, they don't know why. Why, I don't like him because... But I like that Hillary Clinton because... Why do you like her? Well, I don't know. Because she's got a skirt? Or she wears a jumpsuit or a pair of pink... I don't... What is it you like about Hillary Clinton? What in the world can you like about a woman who has the worst track record in the history of being a Secretary of State? Do you know that Hillary Clinton created the Arab Spring? If you said that to the average soccer mom, the blonde cheerleader, now 35, living in the suburb with two children, the slightly drug-addicted young ladies who were raised on medication, ADD, ADHD, Adderall, the Adderall women, if you ask them any serious question, they're incapable of answering you, but their mind is made up. Their mind is made up that they're progressives and they're proud of it. They don't know what it means. They think the progressive means the opposite of Republicans. They think progressive means a laissez-faire democracy, which, by the way, is what I believe in, live and let live. I'm actually the most progressive person in radio. I believe in a laissez-faire philosophy, live and let live. But if someone doesn't want to let you live, well, I guess that's what your police and your military is for. That's what we pay such high taxes for. Not for illegal aliens' flat-screen televisions. Not so their children get dental work. I don't mind paying such high taxes if it was... I wouldn't mind paying such high taxes if it went to combat in the Middle East and around the world. If the money went for bombs that said... Oh, I can't even tell you what I'd say. The Russians are writing inscriptions on their bombs right now. I tell you the truth, the Russians are the heroes of the West. Isn't that ironic? That this double-talking phony with the deep voice from wherever he's from is hated around the thinking West, while Putin is seen as the hero. The Russian pilots are writing, "This is for Paris," on their bombs. Can you believe this with paint? The same way our men used to write things on our bombs in World War II against Germany and against Japan, and the way the men did so in Vietnam. They wrote things on the bombs, but in this sick, demented, sick, feminized military, anyone who would do a thing like that would be court-martialed by the degenerates running the military that Obama's put hand-picked in there. I have a report in my hand. 75% of the targets that our pilots have identified as verifiable military targets, they've been unable to bomb. They were told don't bomb by the girls behind the scenes in Washington. Did you know that every bomb that's dropped has to go through the sorority? There's some crazy drug fiends inside the White House or inside somewhere who give the orders as to which bombs are allowed to be dropped. No matter what the pilots say, no, they decide. The girls decide in between a cappuccino what bomb can fall. They come back with the planes loaded with their bombs. Can you believe this? Well, I know you think I'm making it up, but I'm not making it up. It's a story, it's a fact, it's reality. This is what happens when you have a Potemkin military under this crazed administration. I received an email on my Facebook, actually just a Facebook poster named Chris Hall May, and he wrote this. He said, I usually don't read all of the, people post and post and post, and then they say click for more. It'd take your whole life to read this stuff. But he's a soldier, active duty Army. He's a medic, 3 years of his life overseas, Afghanistan, Iraq. I've seen some pretty atrocious sights caused by war from both sides. I've picked up blown up body parts of friends, and I've saved the lives of guys who were trying to kill me and my guys right before I was keeping them from their 72 virgins or whatever they believe awaits them on the other side. And then he gives an unbiased, truthful view to the Syrian refugee situation. And he goes on and talks about how these parents abuse their children. He said, we saw hundreds of children from infants to 18 years old. The overwhelming majority of the kids, 90% or better, were clear cases of abuse. These parents were literally dunking their kids in boiling water or throwing hot chai at their kids' faces. Yes, we're talking about babies, toddlers, kids not even old enough to understand why their parents would do these things to them. Hundreds of kids, he writes. We saw quite a few of these kids who were sexually abused, both girls and boys. Their parents acted as if nothing was wrong with this, even when confronted by our doctors. Do you know why? This is the mentality of their society, not the viewpoint of a few individuals. These beliefs have been accepted in the vast majority of these people. Many were educated, well-dressed, well-spoken men, but yet they still raped their own children and kept chai boys, C-H-I. And if you don't know what that means, Google it. Chai boys. Now, do you know more about that story? Two of our brave, red-blooded American men caught an Afghani commander who had chained the boy to a post and was raping him around the clock. They heard the boy screaming. Well, they released the boy from the rape, and they told the commander that what he was doing was wrong, and he laughed at them. So they beat him up. And for that reason, the girls, the sickos who run our military, have thrown these men into a terrible situation. Our men. They told them, don't intervene. It's their culture. I think I'll pause. Maybe you've had enough for a few minutes. But don't listen to the show any longer. Go have a nice afternoon. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. All right, so here's a little subtext to the whole story. Your phony, lying president and the entire administration, a pack of liars and Christian haters through and through, in my opinion, are telling us that it's American values to let in Syrians, right? And many of you are taking hook, line, and sinker that lying bait. Then explain this to me. While you're debating whether or not to permit Syrian refugees into the country, even though you know that some of them are going to be terrorists, you know, by the law of odds, some of them are going to be terrorists, how come he's kicking Iraqi Christians out of the nation who got here through Mexico? Oh, you didn't know about that? Didn't make it to MSNBC? You didn't know that a total of 27 Chaldean Christians who were driven out of Syria by Al-Qaeda and ISIS got into America in April and May through Mexico to join their thriving Iraqi Christian community in and around San Diego, but the evildoers in the Obama administration are throwing them out? And the father behind them, the Father Michael Bazzi of St. Peter Chaldean Catholic Cathedral in El Cajon, says, we wonder why for thousands of Muslims the door is open to America, yet Christians are not allowed to come. Can you understand, can anyone understand why Lauren Mack, a lousy liar from the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Administration, says this, quote, we will continue to seek to remove the ones who have been ordered removed. Sieg Heil, Lauren. You're a great gal. I wonder what college you went to. So Muslims are welcome and Christians are not from Syria? So it's really not about Syrian refugees, is it? It's about Muslim refugees. Only Muslims need apply. Anyone know why? Can't figure it out? Well, his middle name is not Barack Jesus Obama, is it? See, what if his name, when he was running for office in 07, when we tried to warn you what this man's background was, what if his name was Barack Jesus Obama? I can't imagine what the left would have done with that. He would have been out of the he would have been out of the starting gate. They would have removed him from the starting gate. But his name was not Barack, or let's say Barry Jesus Obama. His name was Barry Hussein Obama. That if you said a word, you were considered an evil person. It shows that you weren't nuanced. You were a bigot. You weren't multicultural. You weren't thinking like a New Yorker would think, a sophisticated drug addict. You weren't thinking the way a sophisticated drug addict in nice clothing would think. No, you were thinking like an American who wants to live. Okay, I think I made my point, and I've made it well. I think the Eminem analogy will spread around the world. It's that simple. Bob on WAA.
I just wanted to, you know, everyone is talking about Muslims and they're a peaceful nation. You know, I'm in the United States military. In one particular mission that we did, at the end of it, we had heard some females screaming while we were doing reconnaissance, and at the end of it, we come to find out that that all Muslims, in this particular village in Afghanistan, when, their women came of age, they took a soldering iron to the, women's privates in certain areas, if you can infer what, in order for the women not to experience any pleasure during sex.
Well, Bob, your problem is that you have Christian values, which are antithetical to Obama's values. See, Obama sees an act like this as part of the superior virtue of the oppressed, or of, let us say, multiculturalism. And if this is what they believe in, which is mutilating and torturing young girls, why, that's just part of their culture, Bob. And I'm sure as a Special Forces veteran, you were told to look the other way. Am I right? Bob, I'm sending you a gift for Thanksgiving, Government Zero. I'm sure as a Special Forces man, you of all people will understand the danger we're in and enjoy reading this book, but spread the message to perhaps a liberal relative.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Overwhelming majority of victims of terrorism over the last several years, and certainly the overwhelming majority of victims of ISIL, are themselves Muslims. ISIL does not represent Islam. It is not representative in any way of the attitudes of the overwhelming majority of Muslims.
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That's the mantra of the liberals. Of course, it's called ISIL, Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. We're not talking about the actor from the 40s, Oscar Levant. ISIL, Islamic State. ISIL, make it simple, ISIL. Now, of course, the reason they call it Daesh is you don't hear the word Islam. You don't want to get it in the stupid head of the average dumb American that it's related to any particular religion or area. It's just, it's happening. These bombs that are going off are spontaneous combustion. It's from a bunch of rags left in a Parisian nightclub. Yeah, that'll come out next from the Department of Homeland Security, that they've done an investigation and they've come to the conclusion that there really were no terrorists. It was a group of rags that absinthe had been poured on, left in the back of the nightclub, and then they investigated the cafe, and although it appeared to be machine gunning by people from the Middle East with dark skin, it really wasn't. It was rags that were left in absinthe and thrown in a garbage can in the basement that caught fire, and then they set off firecrackers left over by Americans from last July 4th. So the blame really lies in our celebration of Independence Day, because we never should have had Americans bringing firecrackers to France. And so they're going to outlaw firecrackers in France from now on to make certain that this never happens again. Now let's move on. There's nothing to see here. All right. You mind if I stretch it a little bit, because it's reaching a point of no return here? Any sane president would have stopped this a long time ago. 2 years ago, he could have taken ISIS off the map. He let them grow because they were his factotum army to take down Assad. You don't have to be a genius. I don't have to be a historian to tell you what's clear to everyone who studied this. And by the way, 9 months ago, I kept asking the question. I'll say it again in case you've just joined the show. I'm a deductive thinker. About 9 months ago, after these throwbacks had taken over I think it was Mosul. With our tanks, by the way, given to them by the Iraqis, and they overran a city, and we didn't blow up one tank. They had a victory parade of about a half a mile long with their Toyota trucks. By the way, where'd they get the Toyota trucks from? Which dealer sold it to them? That's number two. But they had a victory parade, ISIS did. And we had an Air Force flying around up there. We didn't blow up one truck. It could have been a highway of death, like under Bush. You could have seen cindered bodies and charred trucks. That would have put a dent into their parades. It would have slowed down their advance. So I said to myself, wait a minute, if the U.S. Air Force is not bombing them, it's because the commander-in-chief has given orders not to bomb them when they come out in the open like that. So I said, well, why not? Because we want them. Because he's using them. He's using them as an army to take down Assad. That was his plan. That's what they all wanted to do, is take Assad out at all costs. That was the liberal mantra for over 2 years, that Assad was the evil. Assad was evil. He was evil. But let me tell you something. It takes evil to fight evil. As we're finding out, it doesn't take nice guys to stop evil. And so this strong man, this madman Assad, as evil as he is, he kept the worst ones under control. He was no threat to the West. He posed no threat to us whatsoever. And yet Obama wanted to take him out. And I'm sorry to say, so did Israel. Because I also asked myself, if Israel has the most powerful military in the area, why have they not flown one bombing mission against ISIS? I couldn't figure it out. Well, I could figure it out. It's called put two and two together. You'll come up with four. That's all because they didn't want ISIS to end either. ISIS was doing their job. Their worst threat in their mind was Assad, because Assad supports Hezbollah. Hezbollah was seen as a dangerous enemy to Israel. So the geniuses in Israel figured, all right, let ISIL do it. Then when they take over Syria, we'll worry about them. This is how they think. At least it's one man's opinion. Do I really know? I don't have knishes with the Mossad. I don't have tea with Assad. I don't have coffee with Haddad. I just sit here in my own world, looking out at the world, watching the world go around. I read the news. I watch the television. I search and search around the clock, digging, 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 while normal people are living, living, living. I'm working, working, working. And those are my conclusions, conclusions, conclusions. It's that simple. It's called using your brains, putting two and two together. So in other words, ISIS is a creation of Obama and other Western nations. And then suddenly a fly in the ointment appeared. The fly was called Putin. They couldn't believe how this evil man who Hillary called Hitler, oh yes, remember Hillary, who I think just the other day said, I'm glad Russia's doing it, the lying, double-talking phony. She had the nerve to say about a year ago he was Hitler. I don't know if you remember that. Now suddenly what, he's not Hitler? So when Putin finally upset the balance of the West by going in and bombing ISIS and saying, that's it, no more, you're not taking over this country, I have a warm water seaport here, I have a lot of interests here, he's an ally of mine, as bad as he is, he's in my sphere of interest, you're not toppling him. Well, then the West didn't know what to do. Suddenly Obama, the thin man, was exposed for what he is. And suddenly they had to make a decision. It was either join Putin or sit on the sidelines. So Obama chose to sit on the sidelines. He hasn't joined Putin. They're not coordinating with him. But who joined Putin? Even France. Used to call them surrender monkeys. Remember you joked about them? Remember a number of years ago you called France, remember you wouldn't eat French fries? Remember you called them freedom fries? Remember those days? Well, we don't do that about France anymore. France was injured, deeply injured in her soul the other day, last Friday. Deeply injured, cut to the bone, by their Muslim friends who they let in under asylum. Oh, yeah, they welcomed them in. Oh, yeah. And as you well know, they got rewarded for their compassion, as is always the case. Basically, they were attacked by the people they reached out to help. They let them in. The next thing you know, they're bombed by them and machine gunned by them. And did you read a little addendum to the story, or you've had enough? Wait, before you leave the show this Friday afternoon on the East Coast, hold it. One more little fact for you to think about over the weekend. These friendly fellows, these freedom fighters from ISIS, not only machine gunned and bombed these poor French people, they tortured them while they were dying and mutilated their bodies. That came out today. And you ask yourself, how could a human being stoop to this level? Why in the world would they do a thing like this? Well, I'll have to let you figure it out for yourself. those of you who don't know what's going on should make a decision that from this day forward, you're going to clean up your head. You're going to give up marijuana. You're going to give up drugs. If you're a drunk, you're going to stop drinking. And you're going to realize that your life, your wife's life, your children's lives are in danger. And that you've been drugged and you've been seduced by liberalism. And then unless you awaken to the danger you're in, who's going to protect you when the time comes? I saw some live video footage of a cafe during an attack by these Islamofascists. And it was heartbreaking to watch the young women in there. I actually felt bad for them. I wasn't laughing at them. They didn't know what to do. They were panicked, as you would be. You hear machine gun fire, the glasses flying. And then there was a man in there. He pulled out an iPhone, and while the machine gun bullets were flying, he was looking in his iPhone. He thought the iPhone would give him an answer at that moment. But he didn't need an iPhone in his hand. He needed what French are not allowed to have in their hand. That's called a gun. I know you say, what could it have done? Could have done a lot. If, let's say, 50% of the men in that nightclub had carried a weapon and were allowed to carry a weapon because the country is under siege, well, surely some of them would have died, but the event would have been over much more quickly because they would have been able to defend themselves. You don't understand that. But guns actually work. That's why your police have them. And that's why your soldiers have them. Guns actually work to stop terrorism. It's the only thing that works. Bombs, guns. Now, look, how does this all end? Let's cut to the chase. I've spent almost 2 hours now trying to educate you as to the danger you are in because you have a psychotic in the White House. You have a zero government that doesn't represent not only the will of the people, but the sanity of the people. The people are far more sane than the lunatics running this government. From top to bottom, it's a corrupt, psychotic government. They tell you don't need borders, you don't need a language, you don't need a culture, and they embrace everyone else's borders, language, and culture. Okay, well, in addition to being crazy, they're also probably seditious. But let's put that aside. How does this end? How does it play out? Okay, so let's put our thinking caps on. I gave you the M&M analogy earlier. That means close the borders. That's number one. That ain't happening under Hussein. Hussein's not closing the borders. If a guy was caught at the border with a dirty nuclear weapon in a backpack, he'd tell you that they all come here to work. He would not change one iota of his psychosis would be altered by it. Now, one iota. Okay, so how does this end? How it ends? There's going to be a number of attacks in this country, as we've been told over and over again by our great intelligence services, who, by the way, have the power to stop it yesterday. They have 1,000 people under a watch list. I know that they're not white Irish nuns in their 80s in wheelchairs. They don't look like the people who are harassed by the TSA. They could yank them all in right off the streets like the French are doing. Pull them in their underwear with their behinds showing like the French did, breaking down doors and yanking them out, and then finding they have vests and machine guns and grenade launchers. They know who they are. But the hands are tied by who? By Marvin from the ACLU. Marvin, the smart boy who went to law school. My Marvin. What a beautiful boy went to law school. He's so smart. He works for the ACLU. He stops those fascist police with the guns. Oy, my Marvin. What a beautiful boy, Marvin. So Marvin from the ACLU actually prevents DHS, CIA, FBI from doing their jobs. They even know who the bad guys are. They know where they live. They know where they worship. They probably know what weapons they have, and they can't stop them. Because of Marvin, the genius from Harvard, the genius who was so bright in school that he went to Harvard Law. So how does this end? Bombs go off, people die. Eventually the war gets escalated. More bombs around the world, like today in Mali. Around the world, more bombs by more mad Muslims, until eventually we get a leader who will act like Truman, and he will wipe them off the planet, killing many innocent men, women, and children, along with the rats who are destroying the world. Because you see, they have a nation now. For years I heard from people who call the show saying, oh, you can't attack them with the military. We don't know where they are. They're everywhere. Oh, is that true? Now it's called Islamic State. They have an actual nation with a land area the size of Britain. Now we know where they are. She said, well, you want to kill everyone in there? I didn't say that, did I? But you're going to have that Hobson's choice in your lifetime. Mark it down, I said it today. You're going to have that Hobson's choice in your lifetime, no matter how good you are, no matter how liberal you are. You're going to be asked by a leader Was I wrong or was I right? Because he will do it. We're going to get a wartime leader as sure as I'm sitting here. After America bleeds over and over again. After the Statue of Liberty is tattered and blackened with soot. We'll get a wartime leader. And they will do what needs to be done to wipe them off the planet. And then he will ask you, that leader. He will come before America and say, I had no choice. Was I right or wrong? I hope you say I'm right. Because God knows I didn't want to kill innocent men, women, and children, but I had to do what Harry Truman did in World War II to stop this scourge before they destroyed the whole planet. And I think that's all I should say this day. When I come back, I'll take some calls. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So I'm reading an email from a reader of my Facebook page. And he's an active duty Army. His name is Chris Holmey. He's a medic. And he talks about child rape as endemic amongst the Muslims in Afghanistan. The abuse of children as endemic, even amongst those who are educated. It's part of their culture in Syria. How Syria is the ground zero for a lot of the terrorist weapons. And then he writes this. He says, we found Syrian passports during many raids. And people out there want us to let these people into the U.S., with our kids and near our wives, near our schools, near our churches, synagogues, malls, places where we should never have to fear being blown up, shot, kidnapped, and tortured. Don't forget what they did to the Egyptian Coptic Christians or the Jordanian pilot. Don't forget what these do to rape victims. They stone these women to death for being raped. They behead their own people. Do you think they will show mercy to you? And then he writes this. See if he's lying. Look at the rape statistics in Denmark, Sweden, Belgium. Facts don't lie. 97% of rapes committed in Sweden were committed by Muslim immigrants. And you want 10,000 of these people here? He said even if just 1% of these so-called refugees turn out to be ISIS supporters or active ISIS terrorists, would that be acceptable to you? He said, I want you to understand. Remember, he's an Army vet and a medic. He said, I am not condemning Islam and I'm not condemning Muslims whatsoever. I know a lot of really great Muslims. Many of them I would trust over Christians that I know. What I'm condemning is the potential for a terrorist attack right here on our own soil. And the only way to prevent that from happening is by not allowing any potential terrorists into the country. And then that's just what we'll have to accept. I'm giving my experience, he says. He said, I know that potentially out of 10,000 of them, only 10 will be bad people. But I would rather have those 10 people not be here than the 10,000 here. And those 10 people to be among them. And that, my friends, is your decision to make. And yet you're going to sit here and go on with your values and we're better than that and the garbage that you hear from Fox News. When are you going to wake up? Remember, one bomb can ruin your whole day. It can really destroy your cappuccino. One bomb in a cafe can really upset that fine Chardonnay you just opened. One bomb can really upset the rave you're at. Do you understand yet what danger you are in? No, not yet. You won't. You won't until it's impossible to do anything about it. The United States right now has a population that's only about 1% Muslim. Do you know what the population is of Muslims in France? 8%. Did you know that? Sweden, 5%. Switzerland, 4.3% Muslim. The liberal, multicultural Denmark, 5.5%. How did that happen? How did the Muslim populations grow so rapidly in these liberal, forgiving, tolerant nations? Oh, yeah. And it all works out in the end, doesn't it? If they reach a certain point in the population, expect ethnic cleansing and genocide. Bangladesh, Muslim, 83%, when they gain control by numbers. You'll find out, and it won't be the peace of Dar es Salaam. We'll be right back.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The way I began it, which is playing the French national anthem, there are cousins, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles. And the fact of the matter is they're basically going it alone with the help of Russia and not with the help of the United States. We are not there for them in their time of need. Strangely enough, they had to turn to Russia to help them, let us say, get even with those who did that to them. And look at this, they're bombing in Syria. Isn't that odd? Obama says that Syria has nothing to do with terrorism. Syria has nothing to do with ISIS. I guess the French prime minister is insane. I guess that the president of Russia is insane. They're dropping bombs in the wrong places. I don't know. Obama must know where the source of this madness and evil is coming from. It certainly isn't from Syria. And yet, who knows? The French are doing it. They're bombing Syria. The Russians are bombing Syria around the clock. Maybe Putin and the leader of France, Holland, will be held up for war crimes by the UN. Those who want to flood this country and the world with Muslims. Maybe they'll be held up for war crimes after Sharia law is established. You never can tell. You never know how it's going to work out. So I think I've done my job very well today. I show you the madness of our government. I show you the madness of the media. I show you the danger you're in. And I now open it up to you, the caller of the Savage Nation. Gary on WABC in New York City, you've been holding a long time. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'm a licensed psychologist in the New York City metropolitan area. I have a little different viewpoint. I think that Barack's real father figure has been Reverend Wright all along. Barack's own father was very dysfunctional, was thrown out of universities, was a philanderer, and that Barack Obama has to and has been indoctrinated by the philosophies of Reverend Wright, which is to be, which is to oppose the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah, but he does well, that Reverend Wright. He lives in a multi-million dollar home in Chicago, that phony, lying, two-faced SOB, that America-hating rat.
He
does real well, lives in a big brick house in Chicago, and spits on the America that gave him so much, that double-talking, phony reverend. But okay, I get it. No, I think it's Franklin Marshall Davis who's his real mentor. People say that that's his real mentor, is Franklin Marshall Davis, a black radical from Chicago who was the real mentor of Obama, that Reverend Wright was a small potatoes compared to him.
Okay.
That's so in other words, we're saying the same thing. But, you know, look, there are people who grow up one way, and then as they develop and evolve, they change. Some people are radicals as they're younger, and they get older, they wake up to the stupidity of their earlier years and their views, and they evolve. Why can't Obama evolve into an actual American who wants to protect the country? Why has he been unable to evolve?
Barack Obama's hatred of the United States of America has been solidified by his role model, his father figure, Reverend Wright.
And it won't but you're not answering my question. That was your first point. And I said point well taken. But I'm asking you why the president has been unable to evolve as the world has emerged in his own eyes. He's seen what they're doing. Why can't he change his worldview?
He's been so indoctrinated, and he agrees with the philosophies that have been taught to him. He is not open-minded. He is not willing to accept anybody else's point of view. And this is his true belief in his heart.
Okay, I've heard it before. So by definition, how do you define an individual who is so rigid in their thinking that even the facts can't get in the way of their reality? What do you call that kind of person?
He may have a disorder. He may be obsessive compulsive in his thinking.
Oh, but you said initially as a psychologist, you said that he's not psychotic. I'm saying he is. I say he's evidencing all the signs of a mild psychosis, if not a major psychosis. But he is so able to pull the charade over and over again that he doesn't change his ways because nobody can get through to him. Nobody is allowed to criticize him.
he could be paranoid.
I don't know what he is, but look, my solution is this. We're in a time of war. Another bomb went off today. More people killed by radical Muslims. And he goes on with the story that the Muslims have nothing to do with it. Of course they're killing other Muslims. But it's Muslims killing other Muslims, so why bring in any Muslims? That's all. The Christians didn't put the bomb in the marketplace or in the hotel over there. Okay, my psychologist friend, you get a free book today, Government Zero. God knows if all the books in the world can change the mind of the West before it's too late. I don't know. If a million books were distributed for free over this Thanksgiving to conservative homes, and you say to you, okay, I'm giving away a million books, which I'm not doing, and you give them to a liberal friend, do you think it would change their mind? They wouldn't. Nothing will change their mind. Nothing will ever change the mind of a progressive. They're closed-minded. They can't learn anything. It's ironic they consider themselves open-minded and superior to conservatives, yet they're incapable of learning even from world events. One slaughter after another, one bombing after another, and they won't change their viewpoints of multiculturalism, open borders, America no good, Christianity evil. The same mantra. Gunmen shouted Allahu Akbar as they stormed the Mali Hotel. Majority of Americans say the U.S. is at war with Islam. They call it Islamic terrorism. It's a poll that just came out. Majority say, 60% says, the U.S. is at war with Islamic terrorism. Hillary Clinton says we're not. Obama says we're not. Kerry says we're not. DHS says we're not. FBI says maybe. The only one in the entire government I have any faith with in is the head of the FBI. He's the only one who seems to be standing apart from the rest of them saying, wait a minute, we have... what, 1,000 people under surveillance right now? Now, amongst those 1,000 people, how many of them do you think are Irish nuns in wheelchairs, the type that the brave men and women of the TSA pull out of a wheelchair to frisk at an airport? None. None. Polling agency said President Obama, Hillary Clinton, and other senior Democrats refused to say America is at war with radical Islamic terrorism for fear of insulting all Muslims. Majorities from both major parties said the U.S. is engaged in a conflict with radical Islam. 56% of Democrats, that's a shock. 70% of Republicans, as well as 54% of independents, believe the U.S. engaged in a conflict with radical Islam. 92% of respondents also say they regard radical Islamic terrorism as a serious threat to national security, which is a huge increase from last year. In addition, American attitudes towards the Islamic faith as a whole also appear to have shifted, according to the poll. Although a plurality of Americans, 46%, still said terrorist groups such as the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria do not represent the true Muslim faith, that number is down from 58% in February. 35% said ISIS does. 35% of those polled said that ISIS does represent the Muslim faith. ISIS has claimed responsibility for the Paris attack last week, and of course now this attack in Mali. Here's another little news story, another tragedy. It's very hard to deal with. Jordanian officer kills two Americans at training site. You hear? What if it was your son? Ho-hum. Oh, it's some cracker's son got killed. You don't care? A Jordanian officer shot and killed two American military personnel and one South African during a rampage Monday morning. Oh, that's an old story? Monday morning. What's the date on this one? Oh, that's old. Sorry. That's an old story. I'm sorry to read it to you. Ah, that's just another one. Another one killed by a radical Islamic. Sorry. Sorry, there's a rampage around the world, but no, bring them more in. So I'm going to do again what I did earlier, because it's the best thing I've done yet today, maybe all week. I'll make it simple for those of you who went to Harvard. I'll make it simple enough for those of you who graduated from the Bolt School of Law. I'll make it simple enough so that even someone who went to NYU School of Law can understand me. You ready? Someone gives you a bowl with 100 M&Ms in it, all different colors, black, yellow, white M&M, green, blue, whatever the color of the M&M is. And they say, here's a bowl of M&Ms, but I got to warn you, only one of them is toxic. There's a toxic M&M in there that if you eat it, you'll die. Now, would you be foolish enough to eat any of those M&Ms not knowing what color it is or where it's from? No, you'd throw the whole bowl in the garbage, wouldn't you? You wouldn't let it in your house, would you? But you're willing to let 10,000 or 100,000 Syrian Muslims into America, knowing that 1% of them may be terrorists? I rest my case. This is the Savage Nation, your one-stop shop for clear thinking. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Attention San Francisco potheads. Massacre in Mali, 27 killed in brutal terror attack at luxury hotel. Finally stopped after 27 people were killed. God knows how many injured who will die. Again from radical Muslims. This is while the world is on edge from a week ago where radical Muslims massacred people in Paris. A footnote, Paris massacre ringleader used migrant crisis to get into France, according to the president of France. Oh, you didn't hear that? It didn't make it to the San Francisco Chronicle, the genius newspaper that was once a decent B newspaper that has since become an organ of Nancy Pelosi's enterprises. Paris massacre ringleader used migrant crisis to get into France, Prime Minister says. That didn't make it to your local paper, huh? Prime Minister Manuel Valls revealed Friday, today, just today, that he exploited the Syrian refugee crisis to slip into France unnoticed. It also emerged that Abdelhamid Abdaoud may have even taken part in the attacks on the ground in Paris, as a French security official said. A surveillance camera captured the alleged ringleader inside a nearby subway station as the massacre unfolded. Well, the main point is that he came in as a fake refugee. So how can you believe this deranged lunatic? Well, I won't even give you a name because it could be, you can fill in the blank. This deranged lunatic, fill in any blank you'd wish. But we'll play the soundbite of one of them who's flying back on a huge airplane while, I think, attending a global warming conference. And you can hear him speaking from the power of his airplane that they pose no more of a dangerous threat to us than tourists. Here is one of the geniuses of the world, surely in line for the next Nobel Prize, in clip number two.
The idea that somehow they pose a more significant threat than all the tourists who pour into the United States every single day just doesn't jive with reality.
No, you don't jive with reality. That's the truth. The president doesn't jive with reality, but that's okay. The king has no clothes. And then, of course, we have John Kerry, another genius. Again, who says that refugees have nothing to do with terrorism. Here he goes, clip three, another genius in three. Let's hear him.
It's inappropriate for America, of all countries in the world, to panic and to somehow turn our backs on our fundamental values.
Get off my show. No one's panicking, John. We're not turning our backs on our fundamental values. You know what our fundamental values are, John? Something that you don't know. Who do these guys talk to? This guy, John Kerry, must talk to his wife in nine different languages at once. And at the end of it, he doesn't know what to say. So he comes up with this rubbish, our fundamental values. Then it's repeated by idiots on MSNBC and CNN. Fundamental values. Fundamental values. Fundamental values. It'd be a violation of our fundamental values. Well, no. The most fundamental value of a nation and an individual is survival. That's a fundamental value, morons. That's your fundamental value. So use common sense, morons. You don't eat the toxic M&M mixed in with the good M&Ms. Period. End of story. Don't bring it in. Isn't it wonderful how the liberals would not buy dog food with one, let us say, suspicious substance in the dog food, as I said to you earlier? They'll go to a pet store and they'll look at that bag for 25 minutes. They bring a magnifying glass looking to see if there's a scintilla of aspartame, for example, in their dog food. If there is, they wouldn't bring it into their house. But, hey, bring in refugees from anywhere on the earth and don't look and see if any of them might be terrorists, because then you might be racist or inappropriate. You don't want to be inappropriate, do you? The worst thing a liberal could be would be inappropriate. That's all I want to say on the subject. Liberalism is a serious mental disorder. Time for one quick call. Line 3, Carrie WVLK Radio. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
I just wanted to say I appreciate your laying out the chronological order of how we got to where we are now with Assad. I knew most of it, did not know about Israel's part in this.
Well, and remember, that's my guess, because logic would say to us, wait, Israel has the most powerful air force and military in the Middle East. They've not done one thing that I know of against ISIS. Nor has ISIS ever attacked inside Israel. So I said, wait a minute, something's wrong with that picture. What, do they have some agreement with each other?
Well,
I mean, I'm sorry, it's just logical, isn't it? No, they got their Palestinian terrorists, their homegrown terrorists, the Palestinians, who are cousins of ISIS. And maybe ISIS can't get into Israel, so we can put that part of the equation away. But why has Israel not launched one air raid, airstrike against ISIS? They had many opportunities to do so, and they haven't. Because they're on the same page as America. They made a decision not to bring them down. Because they felt ISIS was going to bring down Assad, who was a great threat in their mind to their survival. Because Assad was funding Hezbollah. That's what I think their calculation was. That's a guess. I have no way to know if it's true or false. I'm sending you a copy of, well, if you name it, you gain it. What's the name of my book?
Government Zero.
All right, you passed the test. You know that the final exam is right after Thanksgiving. I hope you're all going to be ready for it. We're having a final exam on the show. You'll have 10 questions. You'll have exactly 30 days to answer these questions. And the yes or no questions on the Savage Nation. Look, it's serious times, and we've got serious callers. Are any liberals out there awakening to the danger they've put themselves in through their tolerance? Is there anyone willing to raise their hand and stand up in this audience and say, you know, Savage, I listened to you off and on. I thought you were a terrible person. I didn't like you. I thought you were this. I thought you were that. And as I see what's going on in the world and I listen to you, I'm willing to step forward and say to you, Savage, you're 100% right. We've got to do what you say. We need borders, we need language, and we need our culture reaffirmed, and we need a strong nationalist as president. I'll take your calls when I come back on the Savage Nation. Again, the phone number is 855-407-282. Yeah, the Council on Un-American Islamic Relations issued a statement condemning Trump for Islamophobic and unconstitutional comments. Well, I would say the Council on Un-American Islamic Relations is Americophobic and anti-constitutional, but then again, I guess you pay attention to the Council on Un-American Islamic Relations, not to me or Donald Trump. He actually didn't call for a Muslim database. But he certainly said we need to look at them a little more carefully. What's wrong with that statement? Why would that be a dumb thing to say when we're talking about M&Ms, like I said? Why are they attacking him? No, why? Because they can, and B, because he's right. He's right. He's going to close the border. He's going to kick out illegal immigrants. He's going to look at mosques that are filled with hate, more carefully. This is a terrifying thing to those who have infiltrated the country. Horrible, if they've gotten away with this for so many years. A horrible thought that a new sheriff might come to town. You can't have him. No. Keep the borders open. Keep the people stupid and drugged. That's all. Okay, callers. Michael, KKOB. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, I find myself getting really frustrated these days because I'm surrounded by liberals over here in Albuquerque. How would you bring up a conversation with a liberal to get them to see the truth? What should I do to get someone to sit down with me and have a discussion about what's going on in the sorority house and in America?
Well, the question I have to ask you is on which topic, because it's too broad a topic. Are you originally a liberal or recently a liberal, or what's your politics in general?
I was way over on the left, and after listening to you for the past year, I've come over to see the truth.
Oh my God. Don't let the government hear that, Michael. I'm sorry you let that out on the air. But nevertheless, okay, fine. So you've awakened to the danger we're in as a result of ultra-tolerance. So what subject is it that you would like to broach with your old liberal friends? Let me lead you on this. I'll make it faster. The one subject that your ex-liberal friends might listen to you on would be Muslim terror. Isn't that true?
Yes, it would. Yeah.
Okay. So bring up Paris, bring up the bombing today in Mali, and say, isn't that terrible? What do you think about it? Let them start to talk. And then ask them who did it. Do they know who bombed in Paris and who machine-gunned and tortured and mutilated the bodies in Paris? Do they know who did it? Say, yeah, well, were they Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Zoroastrian, who are they? They'll have to say they know it's Muslims, but they'll immediately say they know that not all Muslims are terrorists. You say, I agree with you 100%, because some Muslims were killed by them, so you agree with them. And then you go into some analogies. Well, how do you prevent more of those mad dogs from coming into our country? Ask them what they would do. Let them explain it. Now, they probably won't be able to answer you because they'll start, their eyes will dart left and right, and they'll look to get out of the question because you've trapped them at that point. Because once you ask them what they would do to prevent the next attack by crazy Muslims, what do you think they're going to be able to say?
Nothing.
So rest your case, and you've already converted someone to reality.
Thank you.
You made them understand that if you don't want to eat a toxic M&M, you don't let the entire dish of M&Ms in your house.
Thank you, Mike.
And that's it. And I'm going to give you a copy of my book, Government Zero. Don't bring it to your friends, though, if you want to still have friends. You know, I got to tell you something, and this is a hard thing for you to swallow. Former liberals who've awakened to what danger they're in. You're going to lose friends. Just let them go. You don't need them. I did it over 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago. I have very few friends. I could count them on one hand. You just have to learn to walk alone. It's that simple. I had many people who were my friends until I found out my politics weren't like theirs. And being the good, tolerant liberals that they were, they got mad at me. I had to leave them like childhood friends because they were just children. They weren't bad people, but they were naive. They were undeveloped. They were just espousing political ideas that were no longer relevant in the world in which we live. So you walk on your own. You walk to your own, as they say, beat to your own drummer, however you put it. And you learn to walk alone and stand on your own. You could do without friends like that. They're only going to weaken your mind and your resolve. What do you need them for? So you find other friends or you find other ways to live. Get yourself a poodle. Get yourself a toy poodle and the best friend in the world. A, they have no politics. B, they never disagree with you. C, they bite the hands of anybody who tries to touch your radio equipment. D, they cost very little to take care of. E, they sleep during your show. You're wonderful. Talk to a dog. It's not so bad. Life could be worse. You know, I'm getting tired of this topic, but I know it's not going to go away. In fact, just when I'd like to not talk about it, like today, again, mad bombers in Mali. What am I supposed to do, not talk about who did it? I'm supposed to say, Christians did it. Oh, no, it was those Buddhists who did that. Oh, right. The Buddhists put the bomb in Mali. Ah, that's right. That would have been a convenient narrative for CAIR. But it wasn't Buddhists, it wasn't Hindus, it wasn't Jews, it wasn't Christians. And how many died who were Muslims? Plenty. So what do you do when you have a situation like that, with Muslims killing Muslims and Christians and Jews and Buddhists and agnostics? What do you do in such a situation? I guess you have to do what we're doing. And you have to do it with even more intelligence and more force. That's what you do. You can't do any more than that. And then you have to elect a government that's really going to protect you. And you have to elect a government that's willing to admit that it's Islamic terrorism and do what's necessary to protect you from Islamic terrorism. You can't put your head in the sand unless you're Barack Obama. He's been able to get away with it his whole life because nobody would ever dare criticize him. And of course, the wife isn't going to criticize him. She was busy dancing the night away 3 days after Paris. It was on my Facebook page. I almost couldn't believe my eyes. A London paper publisher in a red dress or an orange dress dancing the rumba in Manhattan at a Broadway dance club with some friends. It's unbelievable to me. It's like, let them eat cake. It's like they're laughing at us and the rest of the world saying, look, we got away with this. We were never entitled to this job. We're not up to the position. So I'll keep giving speeches on racism and fly around the world and then go dancing. That's all. And the idiots will eat it up. I can always go on Oprah to polish my image. Hey, it's a pretty bad thing when you own the media and the media is against the people, isn't it? So what do you take home from a program like this today where you see the madness and the murder and the mayhem and you know it's coming from one particular worldview, which is related to one particular religion? And it's not classical Islam that is doing this. I have to make that point. Look, I'm a highly educated man. I know the difference between classically educated Muslims and even reasonably educated Muslims and these psychotics. Trust me, I understand the difference. I've also said over and over again on this show, in case you missed it, that more Muslims have died at the hands of these fanatics than have any other religion, people of any other religion. That's a fact of reality as well. So what do you do when you have these fanatics? They're basically drug addicts. I don't know if you saw that story today, the drugs that they're on when they go on these rampages. It's quite interesting from my point of view that just yesterday I tried to educate you about the dangers of marijuana, especially hashish, and how it brings violence out in people. I don't think it fell on fertile ears. Many of you think that marijuana is just a harmless herb. It tends to bring out violence in people. You don't know that. But the word assassin and hashish come from the same root word. It's the Arabic word. Hashish comes from the Arabic of assassin, because it was well known for hundreds of years that assassins would smoke that tarry substance and then become crazier than they already were. Now we find a story this morning that was just astonishing, that didn't link the murderers, in the mass murderers in France to hashish in particular. It was a speed-like compound that was originally created and then banished to treat ADD, I think back in the 70s. I can't find the exact article. But it was a drug created along the lines of an amphetamine, I suppose, which makes people totally psychotic and brings out total madness in the people. I can't find it. But they're drug addicts, as you would expect. To be able to go on a massacre like this, no matter how deranged they are, I think that there's a shred of humanity somewhere inside those people. Here it is, the ISIS drug fiends. Homemade cocaine fueling jihadis and triggering psychosis. London Express, I linked it up on, MichaelSavage.com. And they actually described the drug. Fueling jihadis and triggering psychosis using a notorious, cheap, easy-to-produce cocaine-like drug which allows them to keep fighting for hours on end, often with little food or sleep. It also triggers psychotic episodes. Killers are struck in Paris, produced for, by ISIS chemists, sells across Syria and the Middle East for as little as 90 pence a tablet. Captagon, I shouldn't have even mentioned it because it'll soon be sold in San Francisco's Embarcadero. Captagon, the trade name of a now-banned German drug designed to treat ADHD, has in its copycat homemade form for years been the narcotic of choice for many in the Middle East. The drug, whose generic name is phenethylamine, increases aggression at higher doses, and abusers can have oral and visual hallucinations, psychotic episodes, or extreme dysphoria that manifests as paranoia or depression. Sounds like Hollywood. I mean, if you look at most of the people at the Academy Awards, it looks like they're on Captagon or a Captagon-related drug. Nevertheless, it carries the risk of heart failure or brain hemorrhages followed by death. And you can read the whole story on my website, MichaelSavage.com. And they think that it's being used by these lunatics to make them even worse than they already are. So drugs are related to it. And look, the solution to the Syrian conflict is coming very soon because of Putin. Once Putin stepped in there, and he stepped up the air campaign, and France has stepped up the air campaign, while Obama continues to lie his way through the crisis as usual, always getting away with murder with his booming voice. Gets up because of booming speech. He loves to hear his own voice. Aristotle wrote about people like that in ancient Greece. He wrote about people love to hear the sound of their own voice. I think he wrote about them called the hollow men. There was also a great English poet who wrote a poem called the straw man. Obama could be painted as either of those if you wish. A straw man with a great voice who likes to hear his own voice. But the fact of the matter is, this is coming to an end. Russia will bomb them and bomb them and bomb them. France will bomb them and bomb them and bomb them. And once the Russian troops get in there, 150,000 of them, and Jake Tapwater's not there, MSNBC cameras are not in there, Fox News is not in there, Reuters is not in there, they'll kill every last one of them and everyone in their house. They will throw grenades into the houses and kill them all. And they'll kill everything that moves in the village and in the building. And then once the dust settles and this crisis is over in Syria, tell me something. Is Obama going to take the Syrians that he's bringing in and send them home to rebuild their own nation? No, because his long-term goal is to make sure that they're here in order to further de-Christianize America. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYC. All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Russia doubles jets bombing Syria. ISIS targets as single missile attack kills 600 jihadis. Let's have a round of applause for the only man on the world stage, Vlad the Impaler. Russia has just killed 600 of these vermin with a single missile strike with Russian jets. That's the sound of one hand clapping here in the Savage studio. Now, here's an interesting idea coming out of the conservative movement in England. He says Islamic terrorists should be banished to an island prison built by the EU, says far-right leader. He's so far to the right that he's absolutely right. Of course they should be banished to an island prison. That's if you want to keep them alive at all. I don't know why they don't have the death penalty in England. Are they that stupid? They're going to clothe them, feed them, give them Qurans, and let him pray in a jail to come back another day to kill their wives and children? No, they need to bring back the death penalty. And they need to start executing them and not coddling them. They're laughing at them. They know the West is stupid and weak like butter. A knife through butter. Why do you think they're attacking? Because they know nothing will happen to them if they get caught. That's all. Larry on WDRC, line 6. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, long-time listener. You know how you're always telling us, I told you so, I told you so. I'm going to go back for your audience to the summer of 2005. Do you remember? You would come on the radio every day, and what would you say? Day 45, and France is on fire. Day 46, France is still on fire. Why isn't anybody else telling you this? And you would say, I'm telling you this because the French are appeasing these people. Every major city was on fire by the end of the summer. You were the only one telling us.
Oh, you mean when the Muslims, the friendly Muslims who had alleged grievances were setting cars on fire and the French did nothing?
Every major city was on fire and you'd come on.
That's correct. That's how it starts. First, it starts with the lies of the type you get from the American radical lefts in Ferguson. They create false narratives about their grievances, and then they start with vandalism. And then when there's no reaction to their vandalism, as it was in Ferguson or Baltimore, they burn the whole city to the ground if they can. Then when they get away with burning the city to the ground and castigating the police, they go to the next step and they become terrorists. That's exactly the progress of these Islamists. And it's no different than our homegrown terrorists here with their fake grievances. Now, I forgot that. I know that it preceded the terrorism in France. It was the firebombing of cars. And so, my friends, it goes. The world's on fire. More people dead today. Or was it last night? I'm sure you'll wake up over the weekend to another attack. I'm sure the great man with the booming voice will come back and say, I can assure you that they're as safe as any tourist that comes in. Anyone who opposes it violates American values. Then you'll hear the echo chamber. American values, American values, American values, American values, MSNBC, American values, CNN, violates our American values. Jake Tapwater, not to be outdone, it violates our American values. Shep Smith of American values, American values, American values, American values. My friends, remember one thing. The number one American value is your survival. Never forget it. Don't let these morons in the media or the government tell you any other thing. Your number one American value, taught to you from the day of our founding, is survival. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Never forget that the first word is life. For without your life, there can be no liberty, and there can be no pursuit of happiness. Remind that to Schlepp Smith, the idiot. Actually, he's the imbecile of Fox News, is Schlepp Smith. It's the Savage Nation. What shall I say? God bless America. Give us back our borders, language, and culture, and deliver us from the evil of Barry from Honolulu.